Lord, open my lips. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that hath made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. You join with me in prayer. O holy and perfect Heavenly Father, we would in this hour truly praise thy name. Bring to thee thankful hearts for life in Christ Jesus our Lord, and a life now with the promise of peace. Father, some of us cannot be but sad at the thought of the high price with which that peace has been bought. But nevertheless, we are grateful to thee that it has come to this point. And we only pray that now we may know how to use the opportunities that are ours to bring peace to all, to the ends of the earth. Now, Father, we confess to thee that in our better moments, we know that you are displeased and find the disunity among us as Christians an offense. And so this morning, we focus our minds and hearts on that condition and pray that in this time of worship, we may see more clearly a vision of what you hold for us and all mankind. As we begin, we would praise thy name again and say with the angels, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. He destined us in love to be his sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace which he lavished upon us. For he has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will, according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ, let us repent our sins against unity. For the little importance we have given this word from our Lord, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. For our controversies, sometimes filled with narrow-mindedness and exaggeration, for our hard hearts and quick judgments, for all the pride and self-sufficiency we have shown to others over the centuries, and for the violence we have inflicted on them in the past, may the Holy Spirit make us to understand the prayer that Jesus offered for us all. Father, may they be in us, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they be one, so that the world will believe that you sent me. Beyond our ignorances, our prejudices, and our traditional enmities, unite us, Lord Jesus. Beyond our intellectual and spiritual barriers, unite us, Lord Jesus. Beyond the frontiers of language, race, and nation, unite us, Lord Jesus. Amen. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any incentive of love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Many of you are deeply troubled about the lack of visible unity among those who bear the name of Christ. Some of you have been and are involved in activities which bear a significant witness to that concern. I stand here this morning not as a lone champion of ecumenism, but as one whose chapel assignment came at an opportune time to share my concern for Christian unity. A concern that is too little heard among a people who claim to stand upon the New Testament as its guide in matters of faith and practice in the church. Even in the Old Testament, we hear the psalmists and especially the prophets declare the unity of God's entire creation. Surely we cannot miss the important New Testament witness of the early church to the unifying nature of its salvation experience. In words read earlier this morning, John bears testimony of the concern of Jesus for the uniting of his followers in one flock under one shepherd, so that the world will believe. The Ephesian letter especially declares God's purpose in Christ to be the uniting of all things in him, and that Christ has already broken down the dividing wall of hostility. It seems clear to me that the New Testament reveals God's will for the church, the body of Christ, the household of God, to be one in Christ. It further seems clear that this unity must be visibly expressed if the church is to be instrumental in uniting all things in Christ. The fact is that the disunity of the church is far more apparent than is our unity. Christians, in particular historical circumstances, have found myriad reasons to form distinctive branches of Christianity. Biblical support has generally been found by unduly emphasizing a particular scripture passage. Only a very gracious and long-suffering God could tolerate such disunity and the resultant things that are done in his name. We are in this situation, and there is no easy way out. My concern with us as Baptists is that we have so little recognized that there is a need to work for a way out. Denominations, as we now have them, may be necessary, but I am convinced that it is but a passing phase in the history of the church. Those denominations that have been in the mainstream of cooperative Christianity have not found it easy. And not all efforts have been strikingly successful. That's probably an understatement. But in such movements as the National Council of Churches and the World Council of Churches, there has been a demonstration of the faith that shared devotion to Jesus Christ might bring all closer to the truth. Faith has overcome to some degree the fear that denominational distinctives and power will be weakened. Southern Baptists have maintained that the structure of the denomination would not permit our participation in these councils. Even an ardent conservative like W.A. Criswell has recently admitted in an interview that this is simply an excuse. The important thing would seem to be that we humble ourselves and truly seek the mind of Christ, as Paul has stated in his Philippian letter. Perhaps then we will be willing to put denominational distinctives in proper perspective alongside the importance of the unity of Christ's church, and to take the risk of seeking ways of magnifying what we have in common rather than our distinctives. Perhaps as we work together with other Christians, we could learn to be content that every tongue among us sincerely confess simply that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I ask you now to join me in that simple confession of faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, help us to pray. We turn to you in faith and hope, mindful of our own needs and the needs of all persons. May we fully accept the fact of your grace, that we are loved and forgiven by you, that we are reconciled to you, that in Christ we are set free to love you and our fellow man. Lord, hear our prayer. May the gift of freedom in Christ truly release us from the frantic self-protection that blinds us to reality and shackles us in relationships, both as individuals and as the church. Lord, hear our prayer. Make us truly humble in realistic awareness of both the frailties and the unfulfilled potential of our humanity. Lord, hear our prayer. In our commitment to Jesus Christ, deliver us from uncritical allegiance to any person, system, or institution, and thus enable us to work to eliminate inequity and injustice wherever it exists in our society. Lord, hear our prayer. Let Christian fellowship everywhere consist in the breaking down of barriers of mistrust and in the development of mutual caring and mutual service. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen. We praise you, O God, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, who speaks to us and renews our energy to work for the unity of all persons. May we use the gifts of the Spirit to bring mankind to the realization that you are our Father. We accept anew our calling to make visible our unity in Christ. We commit ourselves to serve one another in love, not only in word, but in deed. Each day we will strengthen our efforts to bring about common action, prayer, and worship. Come, Holy Spirit, help us in this task. Amen. Stand. May the God of steadfast love and encouragement grant us to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together we may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.